Pierre Maguire, brought to you by Dagwood's Bab Sandwich. Ham and pepperoni dressed like you like it. Now only $7 for a large at Dagwood's.
How you doing, Pierre?
Excellent, Simon. How are you?
Very, very well. Thank you. Pierre, a couple of news and notes. First, let's start with the Canadians. A huge road victory again for the Canadians. Max Pacioretty, I believe Mitch Gallo mentioned, to the West, first player in NHL history to go back-to-back nights with a game-winning goal in overtime. So a job well done by the captain. But first, I want to start with the injuries. And we'll start with Brendan Gallagher. They clocked it at a 97-mile-an-hour slap shot from Shea Weber. He takes it on the left hand, which was the hand that was injured last year. Footage from RDS clearly indicated that he took it pretty bad on the hand. Pierre, just walk me through here where a general manager and a coach, not just trying to get the player through the physical hump, getting over the hump physically, but when a player gets hurt on the same hand as he did last year, and it looks like, you know, he might be out for a while, how difficult is it to cope with that player mentally?
Well, the coach has more to say about that than the manager. It's not easy. But I would say, knowing the people that are involved in Montreal, especially with Kirk Muller being there, Graham Rhineben being there, I would say that that's one of the positive things for the Canadiens with this whole situation with Brendan. Obviously, it's unfortunate. But again, that's just the kind of player that he is. He's a spunky, hard-nosed, tenacious guy. But the GM doesn't have much to do with that stuff. The coach has more of the messaging than the GM.
And also the Canadians lost Paul Byron, so they're depleted. They're down pretty much seven regulars, although Andre Markov and Alex Galchenyuk are flying to Toronto to practice with the club. Doesn't mean that they're coming back or anything.
Sorry. And Simon, just right now, you know, a lot of the call-ups happen after 5 o'clock. So we have received word that the two call-ups, so the Canadians do make two call-ups. That's not a good sign for Byron, obviously. Sven Andrighetto, probably the obvious choice. And also, Nikita Scherbak will join the Canadians in Toronto.
Okay, so let's get into the Nikita Scherbak. Pierre, with all the players that are out, Galchenyuk, DeRene, Paul Byron was having a fantastic season, Brendan Gallagher, who this team looks for goals. Nikita Scherbak is a first-round pick, and they expected, you know, him to be able to produce offensively. Do you take him from the AHL, Pierre, and you plug him into the National Hockey League, and you put him on a line where you expect him to produce offensively, or do you see a scenario that they baby him into the role?
Well, I haven't seen him play this year in the American League, so I really can't speak to what he's accomplished. I know the numbers aren't great, but I would say probably they'd want to play to his strengths and try to get him into offensive situations. Losing Gallagher and Byron, and remember, compound that with the other injuries that you have, obviously not good. Now, potentially Galchenyuk's back, I don't know. Andrew Shaw, how far away is he? I don't know. But obviously injuries are happening, and this is part of what I was concerned about going into this stretch. It's a hellacious schedule. It's really bad. It's tough. And injuries happen whenever you have this kind of compressed schedule. But I would probably see him being played more in an offensive role than a defensive role.
Alex Galchenyuk, Pierre, and I don't want to speculate or anything, but I just want you to maybe walk me through your time behind the bench. Is a player is going to meet his team in Toronto to practice. Now, doesn't mean he's playing tomorrow or a week from now, but is there a point where the head coach and, you know, with his coaching staff decides to bring the player back to be amongst the group just to start watching film, start getting him, you know, back up to par with the X's and O's of a club?
That could be part of it, but usually when you do that, when you bring guys back, it's that you're counting on them to play. Sometimes you have the guys travel with the team because they can skate and practice and figure their way through. Every team's different. Unless you're there all the time, it's sheer speculation on my part. But I would say in this case, it's probably more likely that they have a chance to play rather than just go there for the exercise of practicing.
Now, Pierre, when you look at the injuries that you're talking about, everything that the Canadians have had to deal with, what do you think about the way the coaching staff has dealt with all the hurdles that have been placed in their way throughout especially the month of December?
I think they've done a really good job. I mean, a fantastic job. You go into Nashville and Dallas back-to-back. I know Nashville's underachieving a bit. I know Dallas isn't as good as they were a year ago, but they're still difficult places to play, and there's travel involved there. That's a really tough back-to-back, and for them to pull off what they pulled off is great. They got Carey Price rest last night. That's even better. This is all positive news. I think the staff's done a really nice job with this group. I really do.
Pierre, when you keep losing your regulars and you're down Galchenyuk, Darren A., Shaw, Byron, Gallagher, at some point, look, you plug in players, and from that Bill Belichick mindset, next man up, I get all that. But at some point, you have to change a little bit, or do you have to change a little bit of your strategy, how you go into a game? Perhaps, you go more defensive, or how often or how much can you switch it up?
Well, I don't think you have to do that with the Canes. They don't really vary their style. They're still more of a defensive team than an offensive team. They don't play nearly the same style as the Toronto Maple Leafs. They don't play the same style as the Anaheim Ducks. They don't play the same style as the New York Rangers. The Canes are a different team. Everything they're based about is controlling the neutral zone defensively and getting a lead and then squeezing the life out of the game. So they don't really change. I mean, they're basically built to overcome a lot of this adversity in terms of injury. So, no, I think they're in a good spot. I really do. Again, I'm going to stress it. This schedule is tough. I told you before December started it was going to be tough. And this is the kind of stuff I was expecting. It's not easy. This is a really, really difficult stretch for them.
Pierre, throughout the early part of the year, many here at TSN 690, not the staff, but our callers, our texts, our tweets, and all that stuff, pretty critical of Matt Pacioretty and his play. That just the goal production wasn't where most expected it to be. But I just want to get if you can help me with the perception around the National Hockey League of Matt Pacioretty. In the last 5 years, he has scored, only four other players have scored more goals than him in the last 5 years. That's half a decade. Sidney Crosby, Alexander Ovechkin, Steven Stamkos, and Joe Pavelski. So basically, I think the best player of his generation, the best goal scorer of his generation, Steven Stamkos, who is an elite scorer, and Joe Pavelski, God bless him, because it was when they asked the question, I didn't think that would be the fourth name on the list, but job well done from Joe Pavelski. But what is the perception of Max Pacioretty across this league?
Pretty solid. There are a lot of teams that would like to have him. They see him as a player that if he's put with the proper center iceman, because of his size and his skating ability, that he can really capitalize because he's got a shot. He can score from in tight because he's big enough and strong enough to get to the net, and he can score from far out because he can shoot the puck and he doesn't have to take a long time to get it off. So I think the perception from the people I know, the perceptions are very strong about Max.
Back-to-back great games from Alex Radulov as well, Pierre. Beautiful goal that he scored going to the backhand last night against Dallas, the two assists in Nashville. And I think a lot of fans are wondering now, trying to project ahead, how the Canadiens should best handle his contract situation.
They probably have already started quietly, which is the best way to do it. They could start after January 1st, so I would imagine that they've already started negotiation, Mitch Gallo, with his representatives. And if they haven't, maybe they should. But it's probably best if there's no noise about it. If there's no noise, it probably means that something's going on. If there was a lot of noise, it would probably come from the agent. And the reason the agent would be doing that is because he was feeling like he was being left out and he was trying to put public pressure on the team. But because you don't see any noise about it, I think it's probably a positive thing, not a negative thing.
Now, coming over from Russia, he's at an affordable $5.75 million. In terms of what he's done offensively, Pierre, would you be concerned if you're a Canadian fan that he's priced himself out of Montreal because of how much he's going to be worth putting up the numbers that he has? Or do you think if you're a fan, you could say, okay, well, hopefully he loves the city and he'll play at a lower number than he can get on the open market?
I don't know about the number. Here's the number that I'm concerned with, amount of years. I personally wouldn't want to give him more than 3 years. I think that's where you probably lose the negotiation is based on years, not based on dollar value. I think the dollar values will speak for themselves just because of comparables. That's just where the marketplace is. You have to look at the age. You have to look at the problems that have beset the player before. You have to understand he's got other options in Russia. I would just be wanting to have a motivated guy. And the one way you motivate players is give them short-term deals, not long-term deals.
Pierre, Nathan Beaulieu, I didn't think was great.
Against, nice goal last night.
I didn't think he was good against Nashville. I thought he was probably the Canadiens' best defenseman last night. So yeah. Here's a player that they're looking for more consistency, Pierre, from Nathan Beaulieu. They want to see more of what they saw last night. And that's Michel Therrien and his coaching staff. when you have a young player like this, Pierre, what's the next step? Is it just you talk about it, you sit him down, you watch film, or maybe you just leave it alone and see how many of these great games you can put together?
No, I think you have to just work with him every day. It's not a browbeating contest. This season is long. It's hard and it's long. And guys are going to, just like when you do radio every day for 2 months, or you do TV every day, or you go to work in your account, and there are going to be peaks and valleys in everything you do. It's long. It's arduous. It's grinding. So you can't overreact to small sample size, either positive or negative. But the one thing is, with that kind of a player, you got to work with him every day. And I really believe with that player in particular, you're going to get more out of him if you treat him properly. And I think the Canadiens for a few years didn't treat him right, and that's why his development was hindered. I think they've started to treat him better and understand what makes him tick, and he's playing better because of it.
Pierre, every year, the 1972 Miami Dolphins, when the last team in the NFL finally picks up a loss.
Champagne toast.
Exactly. Now, privately, are the 1992 and 1993 Pittsburgh Penguins, all with their champagne on ice, the Columbus Blue Jackets, look for 17 in a row tonight versus the Washington Capitals?
You know what? That 92-93 team was made up of Stanley Cup champions. I don't think they really care about records that are more for the media than they are for anything else. Yeah. Getting your name on the Stanley Cup is what matters the most. And those guys, if Columbus can set the record or even tie the record and then break it and win the cup, good on them. But they got a long way to go. They haven't played too many playoff series that they've won.
Correct. But for John Tortorella, what's the ambiance now? Like, you know, I could imagine how it is coming into, you know, your team loses 2-3 games in a row. Most would know how a coach acts, and, you know, you win 2-3 games in a row, and we would imagine how a coach acts. But I don't think, like, there's any coach that's prepared to handle a 16-game road trip. What are you doing on a daily basis to keep your team motivated?
They're paid. They're professionals. They work hard. They self-police. The practices, you change it up, keep them focused on that. You change up game plans a little bit. There's lots of different things. I mean, you know what? This NHL, so much travel-wise, is a lot easier than the old NHL. Ask Guy Lafleur or Mario Tremblay. The Montreal Canadiens very seldom, if ever, took charters. All these teams charter. I remember once we played a game in San Jose, and then we'd have to fly to Anaheim, a commercial flight, the next day. I mean, it just, people don't realize. I remember going to a Stanley Cup final series in Chicago, and Mario Lemieux had a middle seat on U.S. Air, commercial. I mean, come on. Yeah. This NHL's easy compared to what those guys went through in those days.
So it's basically a guy sitting on a plane next to Mario says, look, I know you're chasing a cup, but I got to go to the bathroom, so you got to move, big man.
Well, what we tried to do in those days as a group, we'd always try to keep the team together so that usually they had card-playing partners, and you keep them in card-playing partner rows. So you would get certain amounts of rows that you would control as a team.
Pierre, tonight, right after 8 o'clock, puck drop Canada versus the U.S. Dominic Ducharme, the head coach of Team Canada, yesterday didn't let the game get away from then. Pulled Connor Ingram after he let in 2 goals on 3 shots. Connor Hart comes in and he settles things down, and Canada goes on to beat a very loaded Swedish squad. So Canada versus the U.S. Guys like Troy Aikman, former Dallas Cowboys quarterback, 3-time Super Bowl champion, tweeting about it. So I think there's creating a little bit of a buzz here for this junior matchup. What's the one thing that Canada has to do in the first, I'd say the first 10 minutes of the game? Do they have to weather the storm against the U.S. squad that got the better of them?
No, they have to dominate the forecheck game. They have to dominate like they did against the Russians in game one on the forecheck. If they don't do that, they're going to have problems, because then the American cycle game is going to get involved. They have the best cycle game in the tournament. Nobody's close to them, and that's why they really beat the Canadians bad on New Year's Eve. They have to. Canada has to have that aggressive forecheck game. Doesn't mean they need to score first. Doesn't mean they need to dominate the puck. They need to take the American defense puck moving out of the game, especially McAvoy. If he starts carrying the puck and moving and jumping in the rush, it's going to be a problem for Canada, because then the American cycle game gets engaged, and then you're in big problems.
Coach Dominic Ducharme pretty much said a couple of days ago, leading into the Swedish game, the semifinal game, that he pretty much said that they need to run these guys out of the gym. They need to be physical. Should we expect that again from Team Canada? Just play below the end line and cycle and start their offense from behind the net?
Well, that's all good. It's easy to say it. The problem you have is that it's international hockey, so you got to be careful about winding your guys up too much and have them taking penalties early in the game, because all it takes is one or two power play chances. Let's say the Americans get them and they capitalize. Then you are chasing the game. Then you're in trouble, and then you have to stray from your game plan. So it's really important. It's one thing to be physical and fast and furious, but it's another thing to do it with discipline, and that's going to be the key. Every time that I've been around Canada and they've played in North American soil, whether it's Grand Forks, North Dakota, Halifax, Vancouver, Saskatoon, Buffalo, Ottawa, the thing that got these guys, and those were all gold medal teams. They didn't win every year. They were always in the gold medal game. But the big thing about those teams was the discipline. They were extremely disciplined, all those teams.